You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, so on this extra special early edition of This Day in History, we're going back to 1971 for the Attica Prison Uprising, also known as the sort of prison riot or rebellion, depending on sort of how you look at it. My stance on it is sort of, really, what's the difference between a riot and an uprising? I guess you could say it's language. But yes, this was a really came during quite a sort of heated moment of American society, sort of right at the end of the 60s, the start of the 70s, when you had sort of Nixon coming in, the Vietnam War was really sort of culminating, the protests were, so everything was really hot. Of course, America was no stranger to prison riots, having seen mass riots in New Jersey, especially Rahway Prison in 1952.
In Rahway, New Jersey, 231 convicts barricade themselves in at New Jersey State Reformatory. Signs written on bedsheets proclaim their demands. For days, they have been without food or water, but vow they will hold out. Following their lead, violence breaks out in southern Michigan at Jackson Prison, said to be the largest in the world. 179 hardened criminals, led by Earl Ward, here interviewed by reporters, seize a cell block and hold 13 guards as hostages. Convicts hold knives against the backs of the guards you see here. That is why prison authorities dare not fire at the ringleaders. State police are called as the disorder spreads. Fires have been started in several buildings in the huge prison, and more than $1 million damage is done by 2,000 screaming, rioting convicts, a third of the prison population, who break from the mess hall and set up a barricade in the prison yard. Tear gas shells disperse some of the rioters, apparently inspired by radio reports of the Jersey disturbance. But as these exclusive on-the-spot films by a Pathé News cameraman show, it takes more than tear gas to quell the maddened convicts. In the fighting, guards shot and killed one prisoner and wounded several others. And a number of guards were injured before the guards and state troopers were able to crash the convicts' barrier. Rioting convicts say they ran wild as a protest against bad food, poor medical care, and brutality on the part of the guards. And an inquiry into their complaints has been promised. A wounded prisoner is carried on a stretcher by his fellow inmates, who seem uncertain what to do with him. After almost an entire day of rioting, the violence subsides. Remaining convicts are herded to their cells. But the 179 convicts forced the prison governor to yield. Through their hostages, they held the whip hand.
Yes, that's why they're quite alarmist piece there. That the railway uprising was a relatively peaceful one that was resolved with few, sort of, with little violence, and that did lead to an inquiry afterwards that did improve standards in New Jersey prisons. So if we skip forward now to 1967, this was the year that you saw riots really across American cities, especially in the industrial city of Detroit.
Detroit. It looked like the wartime blitz on London. But this was no war. It was arson, looting, a race riot blown up into something beyond control. At nighttime, anarchy took the city in its grip. And with authority powerless, looting by bands of both races added a new dimension to terror and lawlessness. Manufacturing city that exports cars all over the world was in the grip of mad destruction. So were many other American towns. Harlem, New York's Negro Quarter, began to emulate Detroit. Rioting here is no new thing, but New York's police feared that this one might dwarf anything known before. All over the country, law-abiding people looked to the president for a lead. But Washington was a long way away. For the moment, it was a battle. Authority against crime on the rampage.
Thank you.
the federal government is determined to grapple with all this evil has been made crystal clear by President Johnson.
We will not tolerate lawlessness. We will not endure violence. It matters not by whom it is done or under what slogan or banner.
Yes, yeah, so whereas those riots had mainly been carried out in the sort of urban ghettos of America, you would also see increasing militancy from America's student movement, most famously by the Weather Underground, although that was then known as the Weathermen, then they changed their name, which in 1967 vowed to use violence as a means of protest against America's involvement in the Vietnam War.
The answer, they decided, was to bring to American streets a taste of the violence which they saw the U.S. delivering in Vietnam.
The central slogan of this action, besides the demands, the specifics, is bring the war home.
We're building a revolutionary movement that will fight the internal army, which is the police force. Yes, more physical contact if that's necessary. Whatever it takes, we'll do, by any means possible.
Yeah, so in the middle of all this sort of seeming chaos to the American state, you had the shooting of George Jackson, who was the co-founder of the Black Guerrilla Family, a sort of prison movement gang, whatever you want to call it, that was officially Marxist-Leninist, and had very sort of antagonized the state. Supposedly, he'd tried to break out of prison and was shot. That's always been disputed, that maybe they just shot him anyway. But either way, his death would serve as the catalyst for the Attica prison uprising.
Blacks and Latinos filled the nation's prisons in disproportionate numbers. At Attica Correctional Facility in upstate New York, they comprised more than 60% of the inmate population. Most came from poor inner-city neighborhoods.
Conditions in 1971, before the rebellion, was bad. You know, bad food, bad educational programs, very, very low wages. We were called slave wages. You know, myself, I was working in laundry, and I was making like 30 cents a day, being the warden's laundry boy, and that was the title that you had with my job, warden's boy, and I'm far from a boy.
One of the most impassioned voices to emerge was George Jackson's. His published letters from prison had reached a wide audience. On August 21st, 1971, Jackson was shot to death in San Quentin Prison in California. At Attica, the news of his death greatly affected the inmates.
Yeah, so this led to sort of clash with the inmates and the guards. Inmates took control of the prison, held several guards hostage, demanded various improvements, which the New York governor, Nelson Rockefeller, appeared to be willing to grant. The only thing he seemed to stick on was amnesty for all the prisoners who were involved in the violence. And so it's disputed whether, you know, he was ever really going to give them these demands. Because, of course, it would be seen, I guess, to be rewarding their violence, and that if you give them these benefits, then all the prisoners are going to be rising up. So it really was about, a five-day standoff, which ended on this day in history, the 13th of September.
We are men. We are not beasts, and we do not intend to be driven or beaten as such. The entire prison populace has set forth to change forever the ruthless brutalization and disregard for the lives of the prisoners here and throughout the United States. What has happened here is but the sound before the fury of those who are oppressed.
The first meeting of observers and inmates lasted almost till dawn. A public address system set up in the yard kept the 1,200 inmates informed. On Saturday, the third day of the uprising, troopers surrounding the prison yard waited for a decision by the state. Using a video camera, they recorded the activities of the inmates.
And there is the ugliest, blackest Negro gentleman I've ever seen in my life.
The man doing the speaking is wearing a bright red robe. He's just gotten several very loud responses from the crowd. Typical rabble-rouser type talk.
It was almost a community within a community. And it was somewhat very, very impressive that they'd say
effect of it was that he could not grant amnesty, and in fact said that even if I could, I wouldn't do it.
With negotiations deadlocked, inmates requested black and Latino reporters and a member of the establishment press. It was an attempt to speak directly to the public.
Y'all dudes running around here shooting that dope. Running around here shooting that dope. Getting high, raping them sisters, them white folks, and justifying in the cause of revolution. Well, we're gonna die here at Attica, today or tomorrow. And we ask you to get together, get our people together, and unite.
The people in here are treated like dogs. Not only the black, the Puerto Rican, and the white. And we're going to get what we demand, or we're going to die trying. Yes,
sir. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.